Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down, so throw down. Throw down. Well, throw down. Throw down.
Don't call it a comeback because that implies that somebody was asking for this. ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. Butt Munch Chips, sit on your butt and munch. I am your host, Landon Dunn, and I'm joined... Actually, this is the part where I go off script. See, if you were one of our listeners, which I know you're not, I've seen the numbers, I would say this is my tag team, my co-host, if you were Will Rabb. But Will Rabb has actually been future-endeavored by Near Fall Radio. We wish him well. And no, actually, Rab got a real job on radio, super good for
right.
him. Yeah, so I am joined with my friend, who is also knowledgeable about the sweet science of professional wrestling. I call him Jomo, but his real name is Joe Moore. Joe, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing great. How are you?
And not too bad. Glad to be broadcasting again. It's been a hot minute since we last podcast. Near Fall Radio was no longer associated with the farmclub.net, where you sat on your farm and...
Clubbed?
Yeah, because okay. That is not a thing anymore. Thank you to the all fine right. folks at thefarmclub.net for hosting us for a while, but we're back exclusively on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network, and we're glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad to be a part.
Yeah.
This is exciting for me. It's my first podcast, be easy. Be gentle.
We don't do easy here on Near Fall Radio, so
okay.
No. It'll be interesting, but it should be entertaining regardless. Joe, so as small as my audience is, they know a little bit about me, but Joe, tell us about you. What got you into wrestling? Is there a memory that sticks out from you growing up or something?
Nobody's here to listen to me. I'm your enhancement talent.
Well, you know what? Right now, enhancement talent is Bo Dallas, and I'm a Bo Lever, so I'm A-okay with that.
All right. Well, that's what I'm here for. So,
well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Glad to have you along
yeah.
for the ride, Joe.
Yeah.
Look to have some fun, and hopefully you, the listener, will as well. You can interact with the show. We are on Twitter, still at Near Fall Radio. Me personally, I'm at Landoz, that's LANDOZ. Joe is at Pouchcat, and it's spelled just like it sounds. Right, Joe?
Yeah, it's Pouch as in Pouchcat.
So I can, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, good
yeah.
deal.
Just like it's spelled. Just like it sounds.
But feel free to interact with us on Twitter. We love the fan interaction. That was one of the highlights back when Rab and I were podcasting, actually talking to some of the listeners out there. They do exist, so congratulations. You're not alone. Anyway, today we are recording this on April 22nd, 2015, the year of our Lord, Macho Man Randy Savage. Now, if we were to record this on Monday, this past Monday, April the 20th, it would be April 20, 2015, the year of our Lord, Rob Van Dam. But we are not 420 on this show. This is a drug-free podcast, everybody. We're straight edge, I say as I sip my scotch. Straight edge. Mm. The reason I gave you the date that we're recording this, we're here to preview Extreme Rules and kind of, I don't know, set the table how we've gotten from WrestleMania to Extreme Rules. Because, Joe, just me personally, it's like, I really, really, really enjoyed the WrestleMania show. I thought most of the matches hit every note it needed to, and it really kind of felt like the WWE had, I don't want to say this, but for the lack of a better term, righted the ship. Because honestly, up until the Royal Rumble and that Raw after the Royal Rumble, which they got snowed out, that's how upset God was at the outcome of the Royal Rumble. They
right.
Raw. But it's like, since then, it really felt like they turned the ship. They've had compelling in-ring action. The story, while it's still is what it is, it's been better. But I don't know, just coming out of Mania, it really feels like, all right, guys, we got through Mania. We can coast for a couple weeks. Am I alone in that? Am I wrong for thinking it?
No, and it goes just back to the product being what it is right now. And you have a writing staff that doesn't know what it's doing anymore. It just really doesn't know. Coming out of Mania, again, I agree, it was really, really good. It was a great show. And if you want to talk about it, we can talk about Mania for a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. We can talk about Mania. It did happen a month ago, but at the same time, I kind of feel like to put Extreme Rules and the past couple Raws in perspective, we have to talk about what happened at Mania, because it's just it happened so soon. I mean, it's less than a month away, and we're already back to the point where it kind of feels like, okay, here we go again.
Did you get any closure from Mania?
Closure in what sense?
Well, here's the thing for me. It's like this whole year, you watch from the Raw after Mania all the way up to Mania, and they build all these little stories up, and everything comes up, this big climax, and every year it's a different book. And for me, one of the things that I love about professional wrestling is that, and I love about WWE, is that every year is like a different book in a series. And it's like a series of books for guys. I don't know how to relate it to. It's like, you know what it is? It's the Babysitter's Club for guys. That's what it is. It is, because it's just long series of books that no one outside of your little circle understand, but it's geared to you, the babysitter, you know, or the wrestling fan. And there's got to be a beginning and an end to each book. And at Mania, I thought that a lot of little doors were closed, but there wasn't any real big closure. I felt like the book was still open-ended. It was like left with this, here's the final book in the series of this run, and it's left with a cliffhanger.
Okay, see, all right.
See, in that do you see sense, where I'm going with that?
I absolutely do. And in that sense, I guess I didn't get any closure, because, I mean, for me personally, the big moment that I take away from Mania is Seth Rollins holding the WWE Championship
right
at the top of the ramp as the pay-per-view goes off the
air. Yeah.
Fantastic way to end a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That's something I never thought we would see. I never thought we would see a Money in the Bank cash in at WrestleMania, because in my mind, the WWE views the WrestleMania main event as its own entity. It should stand on its own.
Well, you know, here's Rollins coming in, who's the chicken shit heel, who's been coming in.
And he plays it so well.
Oh, yeah. He's great at it. Oh, yeah. Never discount that. But he's coming in, and he's, you know, beating down people, and he's beating down John Cena, and he's beating down Ryback, and he's beating down Dolph Ziggler, and all these guys, and WrestleMania should have been the moment where he gets his upcomings. And he did, but with Randy Orton.
Which, by the way, that RKO that he gave Seth Rollins, that was amazing. That was one of the coolest things I have ever seen.
Was it his best?
Yes, it's better.
So?
It's better than him catching Evan Bourne.
You think so?
Yes, easy. And that's the thing. I was a huge fan of that Evan Bourne RKO, but it's just, oh, and in all honesty, it might be because it was on such a big stage at Mania, where it could have easily gone just horribly, horribly wrong.
Yeah.
But they nailed it perfectly, and it was just such a great spot. Anyway, sorry.
No, continue. No. as far as it goes, yeah, like, should Orton have been the one to close that book or to close that chapter? You know, and then here he comes later on to cash in the Money in the Bank. I mean, it was the only way they could end the pay-per-view. It was. It was the only way that they could have done it, to get the belt off of Lesnar, because Reigns wasn't going to do it.
As much as the WWE wanted Roman Reigns to be ready for that spot. Now, don't get me wrong. From the time he won the Royal Rumble to that WrestleMania main event, Roman Reigns looked like a completely different person. Looked like $1 million. Looked great.
I disagree.
Really?
Yeah, I disagree. Reigns didn't look like anything different. He just he would come out, run over somebody, and it just Reigns just doesn't make any sense to me to push him the way that they're doing right now. You can't take a guy who's been, you know, to give him Superstar of the Year. I don't believe anybody voted for that. I don't.
Wait. Are you telling me that the Slammies are fixed?
I might. You know, I'm just saying. But they threw Superstar of the Year on him when there were so many other guys that deserved it. And then he comes in, he's just like pushed all the way to the top to the main event. And he has accomplished nothing.
No, he didn't accomplish nothing. He cut that really sweet, sweet Suffer and Succotash promo on that one smacked. Yeah, no, that was really bad. No.
Yeah. But no, it's just you want to move Reigns up, then do something with him. Do something productive with the guy. Don't just Don't just sit there and like throw him in these endless matches with Big Show. That's going to get him nowhere.
Yeah, and I'm a big fan of the Big Show. Maybe a bigger fan than most people I know, but at this point, Roman Reigns versus the Big Show does nothing for either one of them.
You know what you do with Big Show? You know what you do with Big Show right now?
I'm actually curious. What do you do with Big Show?
You know what you do? Here's what you do with the Big Show. Okay, Kane's going to leave. He's going to leave the Authority.
On this podcast, Kane is referred to as my buddy Glenn, okay?
Your buddy Glenn.
Thank you.
Okay, your buddy Glenn. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm learning the rules. YBG. So YBG is going to leave the Authority, and he's going to go back to his old gimmick. He's going to put the mask back on. Great, wonderful. He should have done that a while ago. You take the Big Show and you make him the new director of operations.
That'd be fun.
Okay? Then you just have him come out every once in a while and he takes off his suit and he punches a guy in the face. And when he punches him in the face, you make it worth something. That way, when a guy like Roman Reigns comes to face him, he's not facing a Big Show that just tapped out to Rusev. He's facing a Big Show that just decimated a ring of guys, you know. And you make that victory mean something.
But here's the thing. It should mean something because not a month ago, Big Show won the Andre the Giant Battle Royal Memorial
Cesaro,
thing.
Yeah, Cesaro just won it. And where is he now?
I was going to say, that's okay. The thing. It's like for 2 years in a row, they've tried to make the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal thingamajig mean something, but for the last 2 years, I mean, we already know what happened with Cesaro. The trophy got broke, what, like 3 weeks after Mania?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that the trophy's still together at this point. You know what? I'm calling it right now. This Sunday at Extreme Rules, the trophy gets broke.
You think Reigns is going to break the trophy?
Probably,
the Big Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. He's like, I'm the one true giant, and then Reigns comes up and snaps the trophy over his back. Yeah,
Damian Mizdow totally should have won that Battle Royal, but I digress. Please, go ahead.
No.
Rest in peace, Damian Mizdow.
Mizdow should have went over the top rope with Big Show.
I think for a Lex Luger Bret Hart finish.
Yeah, I think that the two of them, like, they should have both gone over at the same time. And that way he could have come out of the Miz drama with a fresh opponent. I don't know. I was still thinking that if anyone should have won that Battle Royal, it should have been Ryback.
Yeah, going into it, it was like there were a handful of people that in my mind, should have won it. Ryback was up there because ever since he's come back and they've given him the microphone to show his personality,
yeah.
Ryback's been a fun character.
Oh, everybody hated it when he started talking. They're like, oh, this doesn't make any sense. But you know what? I think a lot of that came from the whole Punk situation, and everybody just decided they just hate Ryback.
Yeah, because of something that CM Punk said on a podcast. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Punk fan, but at the same time,
well,
that's not the way you do it.
Yeah, it's not the way you do things. And Ryback didn't deserve to be treated that way.
No, and in all honesty.
And he came out and he just said, look, I'm a fan. This is in my blood. I got hurt. I came back. And, hey, kids, I eat negatives and I turn them into positives. And that's where Feed Me More comes from and blah, blah, blah. And it works. He's a big guy. He's obviously very committed to the company. He'll do whatever they want. He's got a catchphrase that everyone loves. Everyone loves to cheer.
All he has to do is pump his fist three times and 30,000 people are chanting, Feed Me More.
I think there's only one person that gets an arena to chant something more ridiculous, and that's Grado. Oh, you don't know Grado?
No.
He's a Scottish wrestler. He can get an entire arena of people to sing Madonna.
Really?
Yeah. His entrance is like a prayer.
Really?
He did like a Goldberg style entrance with Goldberg's dun dun da da da, and then it just kind of went into Madonna's Like a Prayer, and this whole audience, this whole crowd's clapping and singing along with it.
See, that's fun right there. That is cool. I might have to look up this Grado.
Yeah, you're gonna have to do that.
Very cool.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He came over here, and he was trying to get Madonna to let him use it, and she wouldn't let him. She wouldn't give him the rights to, like, a prayer so he could use it over here.
Aww.
It's like that's the man's whole gimmick right there.
Boo Madonna. Go make out with Drake some more. Which, by the way, we're going to go pop culture for a second. I've seen those pictures. Drake was not in on this. He had no idea Madonna was about to just get up all in his business. That woman is lucky Drake has not pressed charges.
Oh, yeah, she's got that new song where it's like, I'm Madonna, bitch.
I thought that was a Britney Spears song.
No, she's like, we're going to go up to the roof and drink some drinks. And it's like, what are you going to drink? Some Ensure? You're like 60 fucking years old, woman.
I need my prune juice.
Yeah.
It keeps me regular. I'm Madonna. So wrestling.
Yeah, yeah. And going back to it, Ryback just, I really think Ryback should have won it. I think it should have come down to Ryback and the Miz in the ring. I think Miz should have stood up to, Mizdow should have stood up to the Miz and, like, thrown him out of the ring or something. And then here comes the Big Show. And then, like, he come after Ryback and Big Show. And then, like, Big Show could have knocked down Ryback. And then Mizdow, like, just, I don't know, just knock him over. And the two of them get eliminated. I don't know.
It's, anything but the actual outcome that we got.
You know
right?
what? Lightning should have struck the ring, and then a big sinkhole appeared and just sucked the ring in.
Man, that would have been a heck of a way to start Mania.
And not Big Show. That's kind of like the Rumble. It was like they didn't care who won. That crowd didn't care who won as long as it wasn't Roman Reigns.
I'll say this about the Rumble. I do think the crowd cared about who won, but it was certain people. After they saw Daniel Bryan go out at, like, what, the 12 or 13 spot, like, they were ready for a near riot. And I really felt like they had a few outs. Like, if Dolph Ziggler somehow went over coming out of the number 30 spot, I feel like the
crowd he got punched in the face by Big Show.
Yep. But just
Bray Wyatt got thrown out of the ring by Big Show.
Let's not talk about the Rumble.
It was just
that aggravates me still. Oh, and speaking of Bray Wyatt,
yeah.
Why didn't Bray Wyatt go over on the Undertaker at WrestleMania after the Undertaker has lost his streak?
What point does he serve?
Exactly. Like this is the first year me watching Mania where Undertaker shows up and I'm like, oh man, it's Taker time. This year I'm like, oh. Okay, here we go.
Well,
why are we doing this again? I mean, God bless the Undertaker. He has been the loyalest soldier that the WWE Vince McMahon could ever dream of. But at this point,
it's to protect the win that Brock had. Because otherwise, if Bray Wyatt won,
well, you know what? I think it was a mistake that Brock Lesnar was the one that ended the streak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he should not have been the one that won. Absolutely not.
I mean, Brock Lesnar has since gone on a tear the rest of the year, and I really enjoyed him carrying the title because whenever he showed up, it was one of those, oh, shit, this is big moments. Brock's here. A, somebody's going to die and B, the champ's here. Not John Cena, but Brock Lesnar's
champ. Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, but Brock Lesnar never should have beaten The Undertaker, and if they were going to break the streak, Bray Wyatt should have been the one to do it. I was saying that last year when John Cena and Bray Wyatt were feuding. It's like, I don't understand why Cena and Wyatt are going at each other because Super Cena is going to eat Bray Wyatt when it was set up perfectly for Bray Wyatt to break the streak. And I thought maybe they would put him over this year because he was doing that whole, I'm the new face of fear. I'm not afraid of you. You're just a man, not a demon. See, yeah. I honestly thought there was going to be a little bit of a phenom passing of the torch, so to speak.
Right.
But and then this leads us to the next question. What is Bray Wyatt doing?
What is he doing right now? I have no idea.
This reminds me of last year coming out of Mania.
No one knows who he's calling out or what he's doing. And what the hell are they doing with him anyway?
And
you know what? Not even Bray. Poor Luke Harper. Poor Eric Rowan.
No, especially poor Eric Rowan. He got stuck with the worst entrance music I've ever heard. That's like some frickin' Disney Mickey Mouse, like Briar Rabbit crap.
They kept. Oh, man. I don't even know where to begin with that guy. Jeez. Harper should be built up as...
Though it does seem like they're doing something with Harper and Dean Ambrose, which, in all honesty...
Yeah, he's just going to go out there to... You got the two guys in the Levi Stratus match, you know? Fuck.
It's funny you say that, because on WWE 2K15, if you want to make Dean Ambrose outfit, when the game shipped, he was still wearing his Shield gear.
Yeah.
If you want to make his outfit, you take Luke Harper's outfit and just turn it different colors. Seriously, that's it. Like, seriously, these guys have the exact same outfit, just in a medium and an extra large.
Oh, wow.
And a couple different colors. That's it.
Jeez.
I know, right?
Jeez.
But it seems like we're transitioning to Extreme Rules, so we're going to take a quick break, come back on the other side. We're going to break down the Extreme Rules card, give a look at what's coming this Sunday, and give our thoughts. So keep it tuned right here.
Welcome, everybody, back to Near Fall Radio, the second segment of the show, also known as No Working Title.
I like it.
Yeah, all right. I'm Joe Moore, and joined with me is...
That'd be me, Landon Doan.
Landon Doan.
Or the Dawes, I guess.
How the hell you been since 10 minutes ago?
Yeah, been pretty good. You and I had to learn bathroom etiquette again. By knocking, for instance. Holy smokes, that got weird, but you know.
Landon has an upstairs and a downstairs restroom, and we learned that...
we all apparently go for the downstairs.
Yeah, we all go for the downstairs. I figured as the guest, I would use the downstairs guest bathroom. Landon, as a great host, thought that he would use the downstairs and give me the upstairs, and then we all crowded into the downstairs bathroom, and it was a... Well, we're here now, and
yeah,
that's what's important.
Yeah, it was a moment. We're laughing about it now.
Yeah, you're laughing about it now.
And I'm glad we can laugh about it in front of the entire internet.
I'll cry about it later in the shower, but for now, it's just a good thing. And, okay, we're going to, I guess, get started. Are you ready to get started on the card?
Let me just say this. It's like, for the most part, back when the WWE was doing, like, gimmick pay-per-views. Like
right.
TLC and Hell in the Cell.
Elimination Chamber.
It really made those matches lose their pop. But on a card like Extreme Rules, where pretty much every match has a different, I guess, extreme gimmick, I like it.
I don't know. I liked when they had, not when the whole, like, not like every match took place in a Hell in a Cell or the Elimination Chamber, but I like the fact that once a year the Elimination Chamber came out for two or three matches or stuff like that. I always hated In Your House.
Ah, the In Your Houses. Oh, boy. Yeah. That's going way back.
Yeah. I just.
Okay. I tell you what,
my favorite gimmick pay-per-view of all time, Halloween Havoc.
No. Oh, I don't understand why WWE hasn't brought Halloween Havoc.
Oh, my God.
Seriously, you own WCW.
Yeah. Spin the wheel. Oh, make a deal.
Look at Halloween Havoc. That was what was up.
Yeah. Oh. It was great. God,
well, of course, the Legion of Doom would come out with, like, a mummy and the giant, which we now call Big Show.
Oh, well, the thing was it would open up, and it would be like a spooky haunted house. Yeah, like Tony Schiavone would be like, oh, welcome to Halloween. The most unscary human being, unfrightening human being ever.
And freaking David Keith's like, Snickers presents WCW Halloween Havoc.
And then all of a sudden, it'd like, here come the ghosts of, like, Booker T. Woo! Oh, no, Ron Simmons. Oh, God. Yeah. Here comes the floating head of Sting. Oh, no. Hide your kids. It's.
I was always partial to the ghost DDP.
You never saw it coming.
Because it's a ghost.
And they could do that now with Randy Orton. You know?
Yes.
Like, all of a sudden, you're just, like, they're in this haunted house. They'd go through the entire haunted house.
Every turn.
And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes Randy Orton.
Speaking of,
oh my God.
WWE now has a officially licensed RKO out of nowhere shirt.
Do they?
They have latched on to a meme that fans made on the internet, and now they're going to get a little bit of money.
I love that meme. Well,
that meme's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
Like the compilation videos, like, you don't have to be a wrestling fan to find these funny. They're great.
So,
but you're a wrestling fan. You listen to wrestling podcasts. So,
well, right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So here's the thing. I'm going to Money in the Bank coming up in June. Bought my ticket.
Joe Mo, Mr. Money in the Bank.
Right. You know, by myself, because that's how you do it.
Yeah, and certain employers won't give me time off to go watch dudes in stretchy pants fake fight each other.
Well, I've been trying to figure out what shirt I'm going to take. You know, because I'm going to buy merchandise there. I'm going to buy some stuff there. But what shirt do I wear? And I'll let you know, of course, I'm a... you know, for me, this is my first pay-per-view since the 2002. Actually, this is my first wrestling event since the 2002 Royal Rumble.
Seriously?
Yeah.
13 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've gone without going to an event or anything like that. You know, so to that one, I wore my Big Boss Man shirt because I'm a Big Boss Man fan. Yes, there's about seven of us. We meet on Sundays.
Now, what are your feelings on the Guardian Angel?
Oh man, yeah, such a waste of, you know, potential and I mean, the long run effects, you know, just him on subways beating up random people.
Oh, WCW, there's a reason you went out of business.
Jeez, but you know, I was really trying to. I got on eBay the other day and I was looking up like old vintage shirts.
Oh, isn't that fun?
Yeah, but there's nothing like it's like okay, so what's really vintage and what is? What
faux
you just
vintage,
made. Yeah, faux vintage. And I couldn't find anything I really liked. And I started going through all the wrestlers that, you know, it was like, well, you know, who do I really like? Who would I want to go and represent, even though they're not still maybe with us or still wrestling? But who could I put a, whose pocket can I put a dollar in? You know, and I was going down the list of people that I used to really love growing up. Of course, Boss Man doesn't have anything on. And I went to ProWrestlingTees.com.
Fun website. They have really great CM Punk tees.
Yeah. I start going through their list of wrestlers, and of course, AR Fox is on there. You know,
wow. Oh, wow,
yeah. I didn't find any shirts of him doing a guy in the butt though. So you know, it's just like man,
must have just missed.
Yeah. Copywriters must have come in. That poor guy. And so, I did find like there was the Big Van Vader has a.
There you go.
As a side, I was a huge Vader fan.
It's Vader time. It's still Vader time in this.
It's always Vader time.
I actually don't, you know, recognize Eastern Standard Time in my household. It's just Vader time.
Yeah, it's always Vader time. People say it's Miller time. No, it's Vader time.
It's Vader time, bitch.
Yeah. And people are like, oh, is that Star Wars reference? No. No, motherfucker.
And then you hit him with the Big Van Vader.
Yeah. And then I just walk around going, oh, yeah, Sting. You're going to get it, Sting. Oh, I'm the Rocky Mountain Monster Sting!
You inadvertently are wearing some giant mechanical horn ram head or something.
Oh, the Mastodon.
Yeah.
There's apparently like a whole lot of like Japanese culture sucked into his character that I didn't know about. Yeah, like I researched it a couple of years ago, but it was like, and so of course it's not fresh on my mind right now. But yeah, he like his whole character is based on this like big mythological creature and he's just like some unstoppable force, and that's where the mask came from, that big it's
that's cool.
Now I might be misquoting myself, but you know it's
now that's something we need to need to check into on a future episode. Awesome.
Or you guys can all go Google it and then you can
Wikipedia and tell us how wrong we are.
Yeah, you can
and
get
by
that.
We I mean Joe how
yeah,
wrong
yeah,
Joe
you can,
is
you can get on my Twitter and tell me what an idiot I am, which will be fine. I enjoy all your hate mail to come.
The hate feeds us.
It feeds the podcast.
There we go.
So, but I'm thinking about a Big Van Vader shirt.
Of course, with Vader.
There's a Big Boss Man T-shirt that says "Like a Boss" on it that I found.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, like WWE apparently put this shirt out like a couple of years ago or something, and I just missed it. Like somehow this like completely went over my head, but it's
so
pretty cool looking shirt.
Is there a chance it's on like clearance on WWEshop.com or something?
It's already been through clearance too.
Ah, damn it.
Yeah, I know, right?
Ah, don't you hate that?
I really
hate that I missed the CM Punk. Everything has to go ... due to legal reasons.
Yeah.
I really hate that I missed that one.
Get this armband, please.
Otherwise, we're gonna be sued for it.
Yeah. The lower we sell it for, the less he gets on a royalty check, folks. So please, It's buy one, get all. Immediately the next day, a CM Punk, you know, wholesaler opened up.
Yeah, it's the damnedest thing, huh?
Do you O? Welcome to the O. CMO.
Following the Ruger.
The Ruger. It's always great when you can bust out a 30 Rock.
Ah, break. And see, that's the thing. Like, the 10 people that actually got through 30 Rock, they're going to appreciate that joke.
I think a lot more than 10 people got through. That was a great show.
Oh, it was. But I'm just saying it's 10 because it was never that great in the ratings. Speaking of Tina Fey humor, have you checked out the Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt on Netflix?
I already ran through it twice. Once with myself and once with my roommate.
Isn't it great?
Oh, it's an amazing show.
They're alive, damn it. Them girls is strong.
God. Titus, yeah.
Oh, the star.
Patrice,
show.
Yeah.
God.
I loved him in 30 Rock.
God, like Tina Fey, we're just happy to have you back on behalf
what was
of
it he
TV
said?
Viewers.
Your face called from soccer practice. It's time for you to come pick it up.
God, that show was so good.
That was a great show.
And NBC said no to it.
Yeah.
Tina Fey went to NBC and said, "Hey, I got this show for you," and they're like, "No, we're going to put on another night of The Voice or some crap."
Oh, of course. You got to have The Voice or, you know, another Law and Order.
Yeah, because they're clearly not enough of them.
But I'm going to tell you right now, I think that a lot more shows, the better shows are coming to Netflix, and they're going to come to things like that.
Have you seen Daredevil?
I have not.
Oh, I'm through episode 5, man. Daredevil is great, and it is violent with a capital violent.
Well, I did hear that they're looking at
ECW fans, you would like it.
I hear that they're going to put a Punisher show, that they're trying to get a Punisher together for Netflix.
See, that would be fantastic, because it's like, in all honesty, the only thing that's lacking from the Marvel Cinematic Universe are those street-level heroes, because you have billionaires like Tony Stark flying around in his Iron Man suit, you have genetically engineered soldiers being Captain America, you have freaking mythological gods throwing hammers.
They make more sense on the big screen. A guy like Daredevil makes no sense on the big screen. A street level hero needs drama and time to build. You know, time to build. He needs time to build, and he needs time to grow. And that's what a television show can do for these guys. Like The Flash. That's why the old Flash TV show was still really good for what it was.
Friggin' Arrow. I mean, that's why Arrow has been able to do what it wants to. That said, Daredevil is what Arrow wants to be.
Yeah. Luke Cage would do great in a TV show.
Hey, both Luke Cage and Iron Fist come to Netflix.
Yeah.
And Jessica Jones, and all four of them are going to get together for a Defenders show.
Yeah.
And there's rumors that they're going to be in Infinity Wars Part 2.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
How cool is that? Marvel tied everything together.
Well, they have to. Yeah. Ugh. But the TV shows...
Yeah, because otherwise Mickey Mouse would kill them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
Oh, you guys need to make me some goddamn money.
I don't have a Daffy Duck impression. Or Donald Duck. I don't have a Daffy Duck impression to go with it.
That's so bad. I'm coming to buy your ass, too. Oh.
Oh, man. Maybe I should just wear... You know what? Maybe I should just wear, like, a big Netflix t-shirt.
There you go. Because, in all honesty, Netflix is going to own our souls in the next 5 years.
But you know what? Hey, I could wear a Hulu shirt. That ties back to... there you go. And, you know, it's like, hey, this is the only way I can watch Raw. It's a 90-minute condensed version.
And I'm willing to bet even then sometimes it's hard.
It's impossible. I can barely get through it. If I didn't have it on and I could walk away from it, even at the 90-minute mark with the pitiful amount of commercials, it's still difficult to get through. And it's not anyone's particular... It's no one in particular's fault that I can't get through the show, except for the fact that it's the same... thing every week. It really is. It's the same lineup. It's the same guys every single week. And the couple of little spots that they give these guys.
Yeah, I do agree with you, but at the same time, on the card, there are bright spots. Like John Cena defending the U.S. title. We're able to see matchups that, A, we haven't seen in a long time, or B, we just straight up haven't gotten. I mean, what? 3 or 4 weeks ago, we got John Cena versus Dean Ambrose for the U.S. title.
Right.
After that, we had John Cena versus Stardust for the U.S. title, which was awesome. The week after that, we had John Cena and... Oh, crap. Who did he defend it against? They were in England.
Oh, Wade Barrett.
Yeah, yeah, we had it against Bad News Barrett. That's a matchup we haven't seen in a while. And even this past week, we got to see Kane versus Cena, which, yeah, it's a match we've seen a bazillion dang times. But at the same time,
well, I do like what they're doing with the U.S. title. I like the fact that he's defending it, kind of like open challenge style. Every night, who's
going to
come out and beat me and be the new champion?
Well, in all honesty,
I like it. I do. I do like that idea. But who do they have on the roster right now that's going to come out and beat John Cena for that title? I like what they're doing. They're feeding him guys. They're feeding him Wade Barrett. They're feeding him Stardust. They're feeding him these guys, building him up, that the mid-card guys that were usually in the run for this title and could have taken it, they can't do it now.
But
so these
also
new stars,
that rub.
Yeah. So these new stars like Rusev, who are getting built up to be possible future world heavyweight champions, are now going after a title held by a viable opponent, someone who puts some real backing behind that title,
some prestige.
Yeah. So if you beat John Cena for that title, it means something. It's not like before. It's like, oh, Stardust has the, oh, well, nope, never mind.
Oh, look at that. Wade Barrett has it again.
Oh, boy, Hornswoggle just won the Intercontinental title. Oh, boy.
And yes, it is a prop on a television show, a belt is. But at the same time, if you want your television show to have any, I guess, drama, for the lack of a better term.
Well, that's what it is.
You need to make these props mean something.
Exactly. The title has to mean something if anyone's going to take it seriously. If I'm going to care about it. And you knew that was what I think it was during WrestleMania, after Daniel Bryan won the Intercontinental title. When he went to the back and he was being interviewed, I think it was by
Renee Young. That's right.
And all these former champions came out.
Bret Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Roddy Piper,
yeah.
Pat Patterson. Yeah, yeah, they all came out and they're like, Daniel Bryan, you are great for the Intercontinental Championship. You embody
what this title
means. Hey, while we're all here, let's chant yes.
Let's all make this mean something again.
Which and I love the fact that the WWE is doing this. So go ahead and transition into this Sunday's Extreme Rules. You have John Cena taking on Rusev in a Russian chain match for the U.S. strap, and then you also have Daniel Bryan defending his Intercontinental title against Bad News Barrett.
Yeah. Well, do you want to, since we're bringing that up, do you want to go ahead and start running down
the
card?
Absolutely. Let's do it, man.
Let's do it. Okay, so Landon's going to get his technology together here with his iPod and iPad.
So let's talk about those two matches just off the top. John Cena versus
John Cena
Rusev.
Is an American. And
damn
Rusev,
right he is.
Rusev is a Russian who currently resides in Russia.
Dos Patanias.
Yeah. But he lives here, apparently. Because that's a long flight to take home after every week, you know, after every Raw.
Which, ironically enough, he has the, I believe it's the Poland flag tattooed on his arm.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin's going to take that arm at some point.
I always thought it'd be great if he just got like a tattoo of like the entire Russian army, like on his back coming towards the
tattoo.
I mean,
he does have a giant back, so he could.
And a tramp stamp, so.
Does.
Yeah.
Oh, WWE, you need to talk about your superstars and their tattoo placements. I mean, it's like Randy Orton goes crazy with his shitty tattoos. And then, oh, my God. Everybody.
Do you watch Total Divas?
I watched the first two seasons of Total Divas. Don't tell anybody.
Okay, don't spoil it. I'm not spoiler alerts, everyone, for Landon here. But it's
yes, for Total Divas.
Paige has gotten on there, and she pretty much just trolls everybody. It's great.
Well, see, my girlfriend is watching this season of Total Divas. Yeah. She is a huge Paige fan because of Total Divas.
Hey, I tried to tell you guys she was great. So,
hey, you know what? You were one of the people driving the Paige bandwagon. I'm going to give you credit for that one.
Thank you.
You nailed it on that one.
So,
Paige is great.
Even though she's
going to shoot a movie with The Miz, why is she being punished?
She's doing a movie. Apparently it's called Santa's Little Helper. I'm going to guess it's about Christmas.
No, it's actually about the Simpsons dog, Santos L. Helper.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All the Simpsons wrestling fans just love that joke.
She plays Mo.
Oh, that's a fate worse than starting a movie with The Miz.
Oh, he's Bart Simpson. It works out. So
I didn't do it.
Yeah.
No, you really didn't do it. Yeah. Even though you main evented in WrestleMania. Oh, God, that reminds me. It's like, sorry to get off on a tangent. I loved The Miz back then.
Yeah.
The Miz, when he was coming up as a heel, when him and John Morrison were running around doing things, and even after John Morrison got fired, and The Miz was just like before, like when he won Money in the Bank, and he was still running around with the Money in the Bank, and even early on in his championship run, I liked The Miz.
Yeah.
I loved The Miz. The Miz was such a great character. What happened? Sorry, tangent. Extreme Rules. We're talking about John Cena and Rusev.
I was just going to let you go on your tangent.
That's a whole nother podcast. Like that, the Miz character back then was so good. So good. And he's just so not good now.
No.
I'm sorry, Mike Mazarian, but you're sleeping with a super, super,
super hot French girl.
Yeah.
Who's...
Who is no longer on WWE television.
Who loves you uncontrollably. And you get to make movies.
Mm-hmm. And you had Damian Mizdow as your personal assistant.
Yeah, you...
And then you went through it all. No, not
really. Yeah.
You no, still get to
sleep
with
Murray.
He's one of
those guys that just won.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he's like a...
he's the most successful thing that's come out of Cleveland ever.
He... Well...
No,
poverty.
I'm right. Oh.
Poverty's achieved much success.
No, poverty's more prevalent, not nearly as successful. God.
Oh, you can't throw a stone without hitting poverty these days.
Man, The Miz just jobbed for poverty.
No, you know, he's American Rusev in the sense that he just lucked out and he got this completely out of his league hot chick.
Holy crap, that's a really good analogy. Man, am I going to have to start pulling for Ruth? No. No, I'm not going to
pull for Lana.
Pull for Lana.
That's what the crowd does. That's what the crowd does.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Leading up to the WrestleMania build, Sheila apparently pulled off TV to go shoot a movie or something.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Wait, she was in Pitch Perfect 2?
Yeah, she was in Pitch Perfect. She was in the first one, actually.
Why is she?
Yeah. She was like, I don't think she had a predominant role. I've not seen it. I mean, I could call my niece.
See, I have seen
She's
this
12,
movie. Because
eight,
the girl, the girlfriend 10? Loves
How
this movie.
Movies?
I've had to watch this movie a couple times. Not a terrible movie. I don't know if I'd sit down and watch it myself.
Right.
But it's like, I noticed they pulled her off of TV leading up to Mania, which just...
And they got that guy.
Is such... Oh,
Rusev's
my... Oh, my... God.
Rusev's lawyer?
That was the... Seriously? This is what you're going to do building up into the Super Bowl of wrestling, which, by
oh
the way,
God.
They totally redeemed themselves with Rusev's entrance at Mania, where he comes out in the tank.
Oh,
Holy
yeah.
Holy smokes, that was awesome.
You know those soldiers right there? They made like a grand each. They got to come out. No, that was like a paid gig. Like they advertised, like come be a soldier. Come
yeah,
be a...
I saw the casting
man.
Call.
Oh yeah,
nice work if you can get it. Not only do you get into Mania for free,
yeah.
you get a grand and you get to go on the ramp and or ringside.
Yeah, with Rusev,
and you get a fun costume on top of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Extreme Rules.
Uh-huh. Okay, so here we go. Drum roll.
That's a drum roll.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have John Cena defending his U.S. title against Rusev in a Russian chain match. Joe, is there...
Is it going to be on a pole?
No, this is a straight up...
Or is it like where they're strapped to each other?
It's a strap match. This is the rules of a strap match. They're just calling it a Russian chain match.
Do they have to pin each other, or is this four
it's,
corners?
It's the four corners
oh.
tag in succession.
Oh,
they're
I
going
like
old school with it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It could be really cool.
Okay, so I'm halfway through watching the Super Brawl where Sting and Vader have their strap match.
Oh,
and I haven't gotten to this. I've seen it before, but I haven't gotten to that point in rewatching the pay-per-view. So... That actually excites me quite a bit.
So, yeah. A little old school coming at you this Sunday.
Yeah, so, you had this big, brutish guy mm-hmm. taking on America's dream child. Ah, shades of the past. You know?
And see, that's the thing. It's like a lot of people have really been down on the Cena Rusev thing. And yep. I don't understand it because I'm a honk for the old school scary foreigner versus all-American babyface. I mean, that to me is wrestling 101 right there.
I don't know about it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a foreigner for me, but I do enjoy, like, the big scary guy that's just like, you can't beat me, and it's going to take, oh, I'm gonna take you down here, and I'm going to beat you on the ground with my feet, and then I'm going to stomp your face into the concrete, and then I'm going to smush your babies, and, you know, that kind of guy. You know, just like the big scary guy and the babyface, like you said. And the fact that, well, I don't know. Is Rusev bigger than John Cena? I know he's wider, like a hippo.
Oh, God. Actually, I think John Cena is the bigger of the two.
Yeah.
But that's only because John Cena is a cyborg.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, seriously, this guy is the Terminator. like he gets an injury. It's like, yeah, most people are at 18 to 24 months. John Cena's back in, like, 3.
Yeah.
John Cena is a freak of nature, and wrestling fans, you are wasting John Cena. He is a gift. This is one of the most talented people we've seen, and you just want to boo him because he's not heel. You're doing it wrong, wrestling fans. Sorry, my little John Cena rant.
And again, I'll let you have it.
No, seriously, it's like I'm a big proponent of John Cena, and I'm looking forward to this matchup between him and Rusev. I think Cena retains his strap here, but in all honesty, Cena has made Rusev look really good, even in loss.
I don't hate John Cena. I don't have any, like, ill will. Like, when he comes out, I'm just not like, oh, this guy's terrible. But he's not. But he's not.
I love that chant, though.
Yeah. He's more fun as a face right now. For everyone. He's more fun to hate. He's more fun for the kids to cheer. Well, he's more fun in the ring. I think as a heel, he wouldn't make a lot of sense right now.
Right now, no.
No, no. There's more guys that need to turn. Like the New Day needs to turn. We were talking earlier
baby
about
Jesus,
how...
Please, the New Day turn. Oh, God.
I think we're getting to that.
Yes, we'll get.
We'll get to that. but, jeez, gosh, John Cena, he's a phenomenal talent in the ring. Well, I wouldn't say phenomenal talent. He's really good, and he's always the guy. You know, breaks a leg, and then it's just he's back in the ring the next day. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you can't argue that.
I mean, he's a hard worker. I mean, all you have to do is just do Google search John Cena's elbow. And I'm sure you can still see the horrible, horrible images on Google where it looks like he has fluid buildup in the point of his elbow that makes it look like a freaking football. And guess what? He still wrestled with it.
Yeah.
John Cena is a pimp.
Because that motherfucker took a Z-Pack.
Oh, God. I am not saying anything. I do not want to be brought into this lawsuit. So I think both you and I agree John Cena retains at Extreme Rules.
Oh, I was just talking about how excited I was just to see a strap match in general. So,
well, yeah.
Does he retain? Yeah, I think it's too early to take the belt off of him. But what do you do with Rusev after that?
Well, unfortunately, there are quite a few individuals you could ask, what do you do with X now? Coming out of Mania or coming out of Extreme Rules.
Well, what do you do with Rusev? If he loses, what do you do here?
Send
now,
it
is
up
this,
the card.
Now is this an issue of Rusev loses because Lana turns on him?
I'm starting to get the feel that we're seeing the end days of Rusev and Lana.
Because
really
if
do.
You separate the two of them, that's death for Rusev. Rusev cannot survive without her.
And we saw that. Oh, I absolutely agree. Yeah. We saw that in the build up to Mania when they took Lana off TV. I was like, where the hell is Lana? And who the fuck is that guy talking with Rusev? And I like Rusev. I think he has some fun offensive moves, but at the same time, He just doesn't connect the same way a character like Lana does.
I think it's his look. He doesn't look.
Might be.
You know what? It's he doesn't look to me. I mean, they're building him up as this big stereotypical Russian. I hate America.
I crush you.
But he doesn't look like what Americans are used to seeing as a big, intimidating Russian.
So if he looked like Ivan Drogoff, would that
if
be
he
better?
Looked like Ivan, hell, if he looked like what's his name, Vladimir
Putin?
No, Kozlov.
Oh God!
Can you imagine? Yeah, Kozlov. Yeah, can you imagine if he had Lana?
That was such a missed boat.
Can you imagine if he had Lana though?
He would have been bananas over.
Yeah, because he was big. He looked like a big, hard, evil Russian. He came out with that just cold entrance.
And he used a headbutt as a finisher for crying out loud.
Yeah,
it's like I'm gonna take my head and knock you out.
Yeah, I thought I thought he was a great talent. And again, yeah, like you said, he was wasted. He was wasted, and in today, and you know what? Maybe it's just I think Triple H has always had a hard on, or maybe it was Vince. I don't know. One of them's always had a hard on to have a big, scary Russian guy.
See, I've always
like they've always wanted to live out Rocky IV.
See, I've always heard Vince's MO was he likes the big, giant, strong guys. That's why guys like Ahmed Johnson got pushed in the early 90s, and then it was clearly realized that he was not ready for this. It's guys why like Ezekiel Jackson got pushed, which I still don't understand what happened with Big Zeke. I mean, like just from a look standpoint, from an in-ring standpoint, he should have had it, but he clearly didn't. But I mean, it's like Vince likes these big, giant, strong guys that sometimes just don't translate.
Right. But when you have a guy like Big Zeke and you have a guy like Kozlov, they need someone like Lana. They need someone like Paul. They need a manager. They need a mouthpiece to talk for them.
And that's a great point. I mean, bringing up Big Zeke again, back when he was running around with Brian Kendrick when he was still with the company, when he was the Brian Kendrick and Ezekiel Jackson was his quiet muscle, I was having flashbacks of Shawn Michaels and Diesel back in the day.
That's how guys get their start. Remember, Batista was a bodyguard for D-Von.
Forget Brother D-Von.
Yeah, this is how these guys get their start. These big, quiet guys come in, and then you pair them up with a guy, make them the bodyguard, and then you kind of push them forward from there. Mm-hmm. Let someone else be the mouthpiece. Let them come in and be the muscle. And it worked great for Brock because he already had Paul Heyman there, who acted as all three, or all everything that you could need right there.
Paul Heyman's so good.
You know, Lesnar came in. He was a phenomenal talent. And you know what? Lesnar's not terrible on the mic when you give him a chance to talk.
He really isn't.
Yeah. He's what was it? I'm going to leave John Cena in a pool of vomit, blood, and piss.
That's pretty powerful right there. But it's like, I think Brock is smart enough to realize, and WWE is smart enough to realize, we have an asset like Paul Heyman here.
Yeah. Oh, they know.
I think it would be stupid not to use him. And he's so good.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I would listen to Paul Heyman read the frickin' phone book.
You ever go back and watch some of his old WCW stuff?
No, when it was Paulie Dangerous?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he fired Medusa.
Oh, he was so fiery. Loved it.
Yeah, he was...
Which you can check on the WWE Network for only $9.99. Hashtag best for business.
Start tagging that in all sorts of just random ass.
There we go. We need to get our SEO up. So, Benghazi and stuff.
Yeah.
No. Which, by the way, Hillary Clinton is running for president, so journalists everywhere are getting their spell check on Benghazi out of the way right now.
Oh, man.
You like that? Little political humor.
Yeah.
So, we think John Cena's retaining at Extreme Rules, right?
If he does, I just don't. I think John Cena's in a position to where he could lose the title and it wouldn't hurt him. He could lose this title to Rusev at a pay-per-view after. But if he loses his title, Bryant won't lose his. I think that if the U.S. title changes hands, the Intercontinental title won't. Whoever wins theirs, the other one will won't.
See, I actually think both Cena and Bryan are going to retain. And in all honesty, I kind of feel like this might be a jumping-off point for Rusev, as weird as it sounds coming off of a loss at a pay-per-view.
Okay. Well, then, here's my prediction. Cena retains. Cena retains.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're both saying Cena retains. And
I think it's going to be one of those. I think it's going to be one of those where he's kind of, where he does like a Sting Invader thing, where he's kind of sneaking that tag in as Rusev's tagging.
And then on the very last yeah. Going for the fourth tag, he'll hit him with like an AA. We are in a PG era.
Yeah.
And then he'll just get that fourth one. I think that would be a great ending. I think Rusev is going to look really strong in this match.
Yeah.
And like I said, even in a loss, I feel like this is going to be a jumping off point for Rusev to go up the card.
Yeah.
Because WWE clearly has big things planned for Rusev. He's fun to watch in the ring. His offense is just so brutal.
Wouldn't that be something if Bray was calling out Rusev?
Ooh. Now, that would be a fun match to watch from just an offensive standpoint, like Bray's big, giant, fast, powerful moves versus Rusev's big, giant.
How weird would those promos be between Bray and Lana?
Oh, God. Like, it wouldn't make any sense, but I would pay to watch it.
It would make no sense at all. As she's like, "You Americans," and he's just like, "Ha ha ha."
Like, baby, I'm not American. I baby, like to live here.
Baby, Putin's been lying to you.
All you have to do is look and follow the believers, man.
Look at all my fireflies up there, Lana. Lana, look at the fireflies.
They Vladimir Putin doesn't have fireflies. Y'all don't have the... Y'all don't have the ecosystem for fireflies, man. You lie! All right, we'll transition to Bray Wyatt. He might have a match this Sunday. He's clearly calling somebody out.
He'll show up in the match of the person he's calling out.
You think? Yeah. Oh, I like that. So
he'll just show up, and whoever it is he's calling out, he's going to show up in that match, and he's going to attack them. He's going to cause them to lose or whatever. He'll make that decision. This is a free pay-per-view, remind you.
Well,
this is a free pay-per-view, right?
I'm assuming at this point the WWE Network is doing a free month if you're a new subscriber.
Yeah.
I'm just assuming that going forward. Which, by the way, if you're not subscribed to the WWE Network, seriously, it's $9.99. I'm not a shill for the company, but if you're a wrestling fan, if you've done enough digging around the internet to download this podcast, you need to just sign up. Come on.
You know what's great about it? You can get about 8 more pay-per-views than you can on YouTube for just $10 a month.
Yep. And also, it's
that's about it.
Really good streaming quality. And also the Monday Night War documentary is really good. But I do think...
Oh, man. And you know what? I got to hear about the Montreal Screwjob the other day on there. And apparently there was this group called DX and this other group called the NWO.
See, I thought it was Dex and Duo.
Yeah, I did too.
Are you saying that you pronounce each letter individually?
Yeah, you do. You pronounce... And apparently they're acronyms.
What are acronyms? Is that another episode of the Monday Night War?
It should be Battle of the Acronyms,
like Vince McMahon fights the acronym takeover or something.
Yeah, the Nexus or NXT or
NXT Axis.
Yeah, NXT Axis Sharp Dirks.
Jesus Christ, what is going on?
There's too much going on.
Absolutely. All right.
So Cena retains. All right,
I'm gonna pick it up. So you think that this entire time Bray Wyatt has not been building to a match at Extreme Rules, and he's building towards the future? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, he's. I think that this is what's coming down to. He's going to he's building up all this. He's doing his like I'm the new face of fear crap and
psychology man.
Yeah, and he's just going to keep doing this. I think this is going to be his gimmick for a while. Is where he just comes in and he just calls out a guy. And that all of his matches that he has up to that point, he's just going to be rolling over people, just steamrolling over people. And then when it comes to the actual match, he's just going to come in and randomly interfere with the guy. Oh, he's been talking about Daniel Bryant this whole time. Actually, that might be who it is. What a way to write him off. He comes in. They've had their past.
They have. They absolutely have.
And Bryant's going to need surgery coming up, right?
That's the rumor, which
So if he does...
I'm hoping it's untrue, which we'll...
Daniel Bryant
we'll talk
in.
About that
but
rumor.
But if someone takes Daniel Bryant out, who can take that heat from... And it makes sense.
It would be Bray Wyatt.
Bray Wyatt. He's a perfect fit to come in, take out Bryant, injure him, and then laugh over him. And then as Daniel Bryant's going out and needs surgery because of the injuries sustained from Bray Wyatt's vicious attack, it makes sense. Then if Daniel Bryant comes back afterwards, they feud for a little bit.
I mean, and it's already built in, but it's like I grimaced when you said if Daniel Bryant comes back. It's like we'll go ahead and
he'll always
these.
Have a role in the company. He's always going to be there. He may not have a match every week, but I don't think this is a situation where Daniel Bryant's going to be gone forever. But week to week, he's not going to be there.
The rumor is that WWE is hesitant to put Daniel Bryan on Raw week in, week out wrestling because they're afraid of what could happen with his neck. Now,
well, if that's the case, they should have stopped dropping him on it. Well, it's not even his neck this time. It's his elbow. It's like a nerve, isn't it?
Well, see, that's the thing.
Does anyone know for sure? I've heard neck,
and you've heard elbow. So, I mean, this is part of the problem, the misinformation out on the internet. And for all we know, you and I were part of the misinformation. If we are, I apologize. But we're just going on what we've heard. There's rumors that the WWE doesn't want to turn Daniel Bryan loose to go.
He just wants to work
Bry
on his garden. He's not. He's just feigning this injury.
Oh, clearly, yeah, because Daniel. Yeah. But it's like. It would bum me out to no end if Daniel Bryan had to call it a career because of injuries. Because right now, like it's already a bummer what happened to him last year because he was the hottest act in the world.
Well, they need to stop putting titles on him after WrestleMania.
Oh God, really?
That's what needs to happen. That seems to be the.
Okay, speaking of the title they put on him at Mania. Daniel Bryan is defending his Intercontinental title, Extreme Rules, and he is going to be taking on one Bad News Barrett, or Wabara, as he's called online.
Okay, if Cena wins, then Bray Wyatt runs out, attacks Bryan, and Bad News Barrett gets the strap.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, you're going that far down the fantasy booking rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if that's what happens, that's so I really think that if they're going to put a title on someone, and which this soon after WrestleMania, for some reason, to give these titles prestige, they shouldn't have put both titles on the same pay-per-view.
Really?
Yeah.
Because see. I'm going to disagree because I think what they've been doing with the U.S. title with Cena, I think they've done...
Yeah, they've done a great job with it. And when you come to the pay-per-view and you come to it and it's like, here you're going to have the World Wrestling Federation Championship belt and the Tag Team Championship titles are on the line. And then you have the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title, which both mean the same thing. And are both at the same level, so don't get them confused. But they're different titles, but they both mean the same thing. These guys are equally as good.
See, I'm actually going to disagree. I think the Intercontinental title is at a higher level than the U.S. title. And here's why I think it: because yes, the WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins, he can appear on both Raw and SmackDown. But the Intercontinental title is the SmackDown title. It's the title that shows up on TV all the time. You rarely see the champion on SmackDown. The IC title is the SmackDown Championship, and Daniel Bryan is the flagship guy on SmackDown. And I think that's great as long as Bryan is healthy enough to do it.
I guess where I'm going with this is that if you want to, they're trying to bring prestige to this title. And that it should be highlighted more than than the U.S. title, and that the U.S. title should be highlighted more on certain shows as far as pay-per-views go.
I can't disagree.
To do that.
I can't disagree with that. But at the same
I'm not saying don't put them both on a show. Save both titles. Like these shows like Extreme Rules and Highway to Herpaderp and whatever other...
I love Highway to Herpaderp.
Whatever else they're calling them nowadays. You know, these shows, highlight one or the other, really, and put them up. But at the big pay-per-views like Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, have them both on there.
I can't say I disagree, but
I know what you're saying. Like, you know, we're not at a split brand anymore.
It's so the first pay-per-view after Mania, though. It's the first pay-per-view after both of these people won their respective titles. So
you don't want to do a pay-per-view without them.
Exactly. The WWE has put the spotlight on them. They don't want to take it off of them so fast. And hopefully they don't have to take the spotlight off Bryan completely, which that just bums me out even thinking about. Let's move on. So I think Daniel Bryan retains. You think Wade Barrett is your new Intercontinental Champion.
If John Cena wins, Wade Barrett wins. I think one of them will lose their title. And I think it's going to be a stupid move. Because I think that to put this much focus on either one of the belts right now, you're trying to build prestige and I don't know.
I can't disagree with that. I feel like if you move either one of them off Cena or Bryan, it's a wrong move. But we're not the WWE. We're just the people paying the WWE to watch their product. We're running a little short on time. Does Nikki Bella versus Naomi?
I think I will probably just go to the bathroom and get a beer. I don't think that I'm going to fix anything to eat. I don't think I'll have the time.
I can't say it's going to be Savage Steamboat quality, but I do have to say Nikki Bella has looked really good in the ring the last few months. She's been a great champion, but just with the way WWE is putting all their momentum behind Naomi, turning her heel.
Oh yeah, I think it's a good idea to put it on Naomi right now.
And especially, it's like after AJ retires, Paige is off shooting a movie. All of a sudden, the Bellas are acting like faces on Raw, which because
it's really just a matter at this point. It's not even as far as the divas go. It's which diva brand is going to be more profitable coming up, and with Paige leaving to film a movie, who fills that role? Because AJ's gone.
Yeah.
So Naomi is turning either tweener or she's going to be a heel. Which she is a tweener, would make more sense to me than as a heel, and keep Nikki Bella as that heel.
See, in all honesty, I think I'd kind of prefer Naomi to just go full-on heel because it seems...
With the Usos, though?
See, here's the thing. I think it's Jey Uso is out for, like, the next 6 months with, like, a pretty serious injury. So it seems like the Usos are going to be pulled off TV. This is the time where Naomi needs to just be like, guess what? I am a badass heel who is going
to... So they're going to pull them both off?
See, I don't know if they're going to pull both of them off. But so, this is just, like my idea of, like, if you want to build Naomi to be...
Yeah,
be a star in the Divas division, to be a pillar.
Yeah,
pull both Usos off TV. They're still collecting paychecks. Let Jimmy Uso wrestle on Superstars and house shows to stay fresh. But like, let Naomi run roughshod over the Divas division.
Right.
Just without any Uso. Whoa. That way people can be like, oh, well, you know, she has an Uso backing her. That's why she wins.
Well, I mean, wouldn't this be a good time to keep Nikki as the heel, Naomi as the tweener, and then bring up someone from NXT to be the face?
See, that would make sense, and in all honesty,
ruin someone from NXT? Sacrifice them?
Let's not think that way, because in all honesty, it's like, theoretically speaking...
Natalya as a...
You were talking about, like just pushing Naomi. It's like, who does she face? It's like, poor Natalya. It's like... If it wasn't for Total Divas, what does Natalya have? I mean, it's like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I really love the Cesaro and Tyson Kidd tag team. Those guys crack me up.
Yeah.
Not only are they fantastic in the ring, their promos. It's like when they were figuring out how to clap, new, day sucks. And then it's just like, shh, no, shut up, Natalia. We need it. It goes, new day sucks. It was so funny. It was just the small things. And it's like, they're such great character actors.
God. And he speaks like seven languages or something.
Oh, Cesaro.
You know what? There's the biggest waste of talent
that
they've had.
Podcast.
There's a whole nother podcast right there.
Biggest misses.
Biggest misses. Hey, you know what? Maybe that's what we'll do. Hey, here's an idea. Before the pay-per-views, here's what we'll do for you guys. Before the pay-per-views, we will break down how we think the card is going to go. And then the rest of the weeks, we will have a theme, and we will discuss that in the second half.
Sounds good to me. Wow, look at that. Wait, is that what a format on a radio show looks like?
I don't know. This is a podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. There's a difference.
We can say the F word.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't say the F word.
We can sit in someone's house and do this.
Well, technically, you can do that for a radio show, too.
Yeah,
you just
true.
Have to pay a lot. So,
okay. So, I'm thinking that if one title stays, the other one's going to change.
And I'm thinking Naomi is your new Divas champion. You're
I think it's a good idea to put it on her, but I've got a feeling we're going to get that WWF swerve where they just decide, oh, this is a great time to do this. Let's wait till later.
All right, fair enough. We're jumping around the card, so let's go to the pre-match show since we just spoke of Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. They're defending their titles against the seems like newly heelish New Day, which Jesus God, thank you that the New Day is turning heel.
I think it's too soon to take the titles off Kidd.
I do too.
And Cesaro. I think also, well, I don't know. They're probably going to take the titles off of them. I don't see why you would feed your tag team champions to Randy Orton.
Yeah.
That was stupid.
But in all honesty, Randy Orton was on the RKO The World Tour, so you know what? If your tag team champions get caught up in the vortex of awesome that is Randy Orton RKO in the world, I'm okay with it.
It kills me, though. Like, you're trying to bring so much more prestige to your titles, and then you just hand your tag team champions to the grinder.
But at the same time, they're props on a TV show.
Okay, well, so that they shouldn't mean anything?
No. Okay, all right. I'm not saying they don't mean anything, but at the same time,
what are you saying? Because you keep saying they're just props on a TV show.
Okay.
The TV show is
tag team champions.
Mm-hmm.
They're props. They go up against a mega superstar like Randy Orton. I don't care if there's 9 tag team champions. Randy Orton is the sun. Tag team champions orbit around the sun. There could be tons of things that orbit around the sun.
So they should all just be treated the same and fed to him.
Megastars, yes. Especially if we're in a go-home show or if we're heading into the go-home of a pay-per-view. It's like, here's the thing. It's like, yeah, maybe the
I see what you're saying, and there's a lot of point to that.
Maybe the tag team champions look a little weak by getting beat up by Randy Orton. But what has Randy Orton done in the WWE? Youngest champion that's not named Brock Lesnar. He's held the world's
strap. What rub does he need?
No, he doesn't need a rub.
He doesn't need the rub from them. It was unnecessary. He didn't need this to happen. He doesn't need Cesaro and Kidd to lay down to him for us to know who he is. It could have been, they could have sent the Ascension out there. They could have sent,
they could have sent the
New Day out there, which would have been great for the New Day. The New Day could have come out there and clapped along and then got RKO'd, and then it could have just fueled them more for their turn.
But we got that this week.
I'm just saying, there's a million things you could do besides turning your champions into cannon fodder.
They're not cannon fodder.
There was no reason to send them out there.
They were going up against one of your biggest stars in the company. Yeah, they didn't win, but they got a rub. They got to spend 15 minutes on Monday Night Raw with Randy Orton. They got a rub, man.
I disagree.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, it's just there was no reason to send them out there for that to happen. It's
I mean, it's not like Randy Orton's gonna take the straps off of him and defend and go 2-on-1
the
rest of the tag division. But at the same time, it's like
which wouldn't surprise me if they did that. And Roman Reigns is now the tag team champions.
Roman Reigns tags himself in, and he gets the hot tag somehow. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense. But I do get where you're coming from, but at the same time, I don't think it's the end of the world that your tag team champions taken out by a perennial world heavyweight champion.
No, I mean, and I get the idea. That's what you do at this point. You send your tag team champions out there, and it makes your guy look strong coming into the pay-per-view. I get that. I just don't see the reason to feed him like that.
But no, honestly, it's like I think Cesaro and Kid look.
And it wouldn't have made any sense for them to have won over Randy Orton either.
Absolutely not. No, like if they'd have gone over Orton, we'd be talking. Why the hell did the tag champs go over on Randy Orton when he's heading into a cage match for the
for
the championship? For
me, the match just had no place at that point. I think
that might actually be a fair point.
Right. It made no sense for either one. That's what I'm saying.
I can't disagree with that. But I'm just talking about the card that we're dealt, literally and figuratively.
Oh yeah, no kidding.
All right, moving on. We got this is a match that I think is a dark horse candidate for match of the night. It's Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper in a Chicago street fight.
I love Luke Harper and I love Dean Ambrose, and I wish they were doing more with Luke Harper. I wish that the show. I wish that they were feeding him. Instead of feeding him to guys, I wish they were just feeding him these under. Like, he would come out and destroy Mark from, and here's Mark from Portland, Maine. And, you know, Mark goes, hey, and then here, and his opponent, you know,
like,
here comes
oh God,
Luke Harper.
No, he's going to die. Run, Mark, from Portland.
And then Mark's just, like, shaking his boots, and Luke Harper just points his hands at him and then just decimates the guy. They should do that for a couple of weeks. And then you're just like, oh, man, Luke Harper's going to kill somebody this week. He's going to Baron Corbin somebody, you know, this week. And then put him up against a guy like Dean Ambrose, because it's just like, oh, yeah, this guy's murdering guys. And then here comes Dean Ambrose, who's just insane, and you can't keep him down. It makes sense. But, you know, when you go the week before and, you know, Luke Harper's losing to everybody and Dean Ambrose has already beat him like 20 times. For me, it just kind of loses its luster.
Okay, I can see that, but it's like,
but as far as like a street fight goes, this could be a good. It's going to be a great match.
Oh, I'm so looking forward to it.
This is probably the match I'm looking most forward to.
Absolutely, this is the match that I'm like. This is why I'm tuning into Extreme Rules.
Yeah,
is to see Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper beat the holy bejesus out of each other over all of Chicago.
Yeah,
and which, by the way, let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. There are going to be CM Punk chants because it's in Chicago, and Chicago loves CM Punk. Guys.
Do you think there are going to be that many, though?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, do you think there's going to be...
We're going to be opening with...
How many
with,
of them
with
do
Maggle
you think...
Cole talking... Welcome to Extreme Rules.
How many do you... Punk. Yeah, how many do you think we're going to hear?
How many we're going to hear, I don't know, because I think WWE is wised up on the fact we're going to Chicago... We need to have something that can be played over the crowd.
Yeah, you're gonna
that
hear
said, CM Punk
so much play. You're gonna hear so much play with the audio.
Mm-hmm.
So much play with the audio. We're not gonna hear any of it. If we do hear some CM Punk, it's gonna be real. It's all of a sudden gonna be Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns, Roman Reigns.
And they're gonna start piping in Goldberg.
I think we'll hear more. I think we're actually gonna hear more AJ.
Really?
I do. I think we're hearing more AJ chants.
Well, you know, a lot of people have speculated that's part of the reason she retired from the WWE is just because she got tired of people chanting CM Punk at her. Because AJ and CM Punk in real life.
Do you think she cares?
Husband and wife.
Do you think that honestly she cares?
I don't think from like a professional standpoint, she's like, oh, I can't believe that they're not cheering for me. But from like a, God,
I,
are
I
they chanting
I think that
again?
This is a matter of. There's a whole lot of animosity between her husband
and
the
company
she works for.
She worked for, yes.
She's 20. She's in her late 20s.
She can do anything.
They've got millions of dollars, millions and millions.
Anything
they don't.
They want.
I don't think she cares. She's young enough to where she can still have children. Her husband isn't getting any fucking younger.
And he decided he's going to go step in.
Yeah. So if they're going to have any kids, now's the time.
Yeah, because Punk is about to get killed. That said, I'm totally going to watch Punk's first fight, and I'm going to be pulling for him, but please see him, Punk. Don't die.
Oh, he's going to be facing Mike from Portland, Portland, Oregon.
Wow, the same Mike?
Yeah, the same Mike.
Mike from Portland getting a lot of work in this episode.
He's a busy guy.
He clearly is. All right. So assuming Mike from Portland doesn't enter into Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper, what do you think it happens?
He's Sunday? The timekeeper.
I thought it was the gatekeeper. Wait, no, that's a different match.
That's never a gift. Yeah. I really think that, gosh, I want to say Dean Ambrose finally gets a win on a pay-per-view.
Yeah, see, I'm going to agree with you. I think this is the first Dean Ambrose pay-per-view victory he's going to have since the Shield split. And let that sink in. Dean Ambrose has not won on a pay-per-view since the Shield split, and that was almost a year ago. And he's been on pretty much every pay-per-view since then.
But if Harper wins, it's just as good for me. You know, I mean, like,
you're
I want
a big Luke Harper fan. This is cool.
Yeah, I really believe in Luke Harper. I think that he's got an amazing presence. He's honestly, to me, he's a little more creepy than Wade Bryant.
Really?
Yeah, than Bray Wyatt.
Really?
Yeah.
He's creepier than the man that is calling himself the new face of fear.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, it's two different kinds of creepy. You've got Bray Wyatt, which is that, you know, come drink the Kool-Aid and wear your Nikes. Kind of creepy. And then you've got Luke Harper, who's
like Jason Voorhees creepy.
Yeah, he's Jason Voorhees creepy.
All right, I can get that.
Yeah.
All right, I like it. So Bray Wyatt is more Freddy Krueger creepy.
You know, that's a good way to put it.
And Luke Harper is Jason Voorhees creepy. So we have Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, and poor...
Of course, Freddy's wearing a Hawaiian shirt. So.
As he would. What else would he wear? And then, what's his name? Sheep Mask.
Oh, God. Eric Rowan.
Eric Rowan. Poor Eric Rowan.
God, like, can we start a Kickstarter campaign to get Eric Rowan better music? Like, anything. This is like like, Brayer Rabbit bullshit that he has to come down to the ring with.
He has nothing to work with. They've given him nothing. They were like, oh, well, he's a genius. Yeah, he's just real quiet.
He's and like the idiot savant.
Yeah, and he wears a mask.
Yeah, because he wears a mask.
They shouldn't have broken
you guys.
Up.
Yeah, in all honesty, I don't...
It was stupid. You break up the Shield and you break up the Wyatts.
Yeah, I didn't understand breaking them up so soon.
Close break up the Shield, and then a couple of months, and then wait a while and break up the Wyatts. You know, give them a reason.
Because, I mean, like, the Shield and the Wyatt family, let's go back about this time last year. Those guys were, wait. No, this time last year we were having Evolution versus the Shield.
Yeah.
Which, God, those matches were great. I love those. and then freaking... A couple months before that, we had heel versus heel, Shield versus the Wyatts.
Yeah.
And every time those six looked at each other and it looked like they were about to go, Raw just became unhinged. Let them fight. Let them. And they don't chant that anymore. The last time I heard them chanting
that. Oh, it was Godzilla.
And it wasn't in the last one because it's like, please, no, it was more the Japanese monster. Guy. Please, more monster. God, that movie was terrible.
I don't want to even get started on that. Let's go on to another
card. That's a whole different podcast. Before we get to the main meat,
we've got two more to talk about real quick.
We have a three more. Kiss Me Arse match, which that's the sound of me slamming my microphone in my head. We have a Kiss Me Arse match, which, by the way, I just want to say this. I love Sheamus' new look. Sheamus is a heel with his whole death metal rooster look. That is so amazing. The fact that he decided to give commentary during his Zack Ryder match, that was awesome. Do we have to call it a Kiss Me Arse match? Seriously.
Oh, man. Ziggler.
Wait, really? You're taking Ziggler here?
Yeah, I'm going to take Ziggler.
As much as I'd love to, I got to go with Sheamus. One, because they're in a match where it's a match named after his fun accent.
Yeah.
And two...
Which is why.
Sheamus just came back from injury, and three, Dolph Ziggler has turned into jobber to the stars.
Yeah.
Which, I love you, Dolph Ziggler. You're collecting a paycheck, buddy. But
is he face Bray Wyatt?
He really might be, because much like Bray Wyatt, Dolph Ziggler could bump for a broomstick and make the broomstick look like it's on offense. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Joe Moore with the analogies, y'all. Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't like that. Because it's so spot on, but surely better things are ahead for Dolph Ziggler, but I'm starting to wonder.
So you're taking Sheamus?
Yeah, I'm taking Shanguis to win the Kiss Me Arse match, which, right. Seriously, it's called a Kiss Me Arse match. Heading into the main event, we have Roman Reigns versus The Big Show in a last man standing match. Roman Reigns wins, right?
Yeah. Big Show does not win this.
I mean, like, Roman Reigns, in my eyes at least, has come a long way since the Royal Rumble. But win or lose, this match does nothing for him.
Unless Roman Reigns is the one that Bray's talking about.
Oh.
So they have their last man standing match. And here comes the, he hit a Superman punch. Whoa, look, the Big Show's down.
He just loaded his fist.
Yeah. And then,
No, we're not talking about Death Metal Rooster Sheamus. We're talking about Roman Reigns.
Cuck-haw. No, so he comes in, he hits his, Superman punch. Oh, no, Big Show's going to go, 7, 8. Oh, lights go out. Oh, no, what's happening? We obviously can't count to 10 with the lights out. Darkness stops math.
Well, I mean, it's science. Yeah,
it's science. And here comes Bray Wyatt in the middle of the ring and just hits Sister Abigail. On Reigns.
That would kind of be amazing.
You know,
that
maybe,
would kind
maybe
of give
Reigns
this
goes
match
in for
needs.
Like, maybe like Reigns like sees him, turns around, goes up for a Superman punch, but Bray catches him and twists him and hits Sister Abigail.
Or better yet, they bring back the Bray Wyatt hologram from Hell in a Cell.
Oh, of course.
Actually, no, don't bring back the Bray Wyatt hologram.
No, because then that would be the Bray Wyatt hologram versus Dolph Ziggler.
Oh, God, and Dolph Ziggler would still somehow figure out a way to lose.
Oh, yeah. Pinned by a hologram.
Man, Dolph Ziggler really put over that hologram, I tell you. That guy bumped. So.
I thought he was going to job the Grumpy Cat. So.
Don't say that out loud. You might give them ideas. And finally, we come to your main event and mine.
Yep.
Your champion, Seth Rollins, defending his WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Randy Orton in a steel cage where the RKO is banned, and my buddy Glenn, a.k.a. Kane, is the cage keeper.
Or
gatekeeper.
What? Okay, so there's no disqualifications?
Correct.
But the RKO is banned.
Correct.
But there's no disqualifications.
Also correct.
So he can use the RKO.
Incorrect.
But there's no disqualification. It was a stupid stipulation. I get it. I mean, I can put it together. There's no disqualifications except the RKO. You know.
Well, here's the thing about rules in wrestling. The rules are there for you to skirt around and cheat. That's the only reason there are rules in wrestling.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you could redo their two stipulations, what two stipulations would you have come up with? What stipulation for Randy Orton would you have come up with, and what stipulation for Seth Rollins? What stipulation for Seth? I cannot say that.
For Steph Rollins.
For Stephanie Rollins. Until, you know what? He's Stephanie Rollins until he gets that damn blonde streak out of his hair.
No kidding. Homeboy, that is highlights. Not a good look. Yeah. No. Girls have highlights, not WWE World Heavyweight Champion.
Stephanie Rollins.
Honestly, like...
Okay, if you were going to come up with the stipulations for the match, if you were going to do Randy Orton's stipulation and Seth Rollins' stipulation, what would you have come up with?
I think Orton hit the nail on the head putting it in a cage, because he takes away, in all honesty, Rollins' biggest strength, J&J security, and the authority to just come out. You have Kane, You have Triple H. I'm sure they could send Mark Henry. They could send Big Show. They could send anybody out there to fight for Seth Rollins. So I think
El Toro. El Torino, and then they put the belt on El Torino, and then Kane's prophecy comes true. You know,
a future WWE World Heavyweight Champion El Tostito. Rollins, though.
I mean, that just pretty much guarantees that the heels are going to try to get into the cage.
Well, and especially with Kane being, excuse me, my buddy Glenn being named the cage keeper, the gatekeeper, whatever. See, I'm terrified that this has all been one big giant swerve where the authority is on the same page and they were just trying to put this front of dissension out so Randy Orton's like, hey guys, look at this. I might be able to beat him with an RKO. Wait a minute, not with an RKO. And see, I'm just afraid on Monday it's going to be like, ha 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 ha, we got you guys. Oh my gods, we got you, you guys. I just went full on Cartman there for a second.
Just a little bit.
You guys.
I don't know. The whole Kane, I'm sorry, YBG.
My buddy Glenn.
YBG angle that they've got going on right now, where he's outside of the ring, and is he going to do what's best for business, or is he going to turn? It's just going to matter of how soon do they want to turn him. Do they want to wait till another pay-per-view for the monster to come out, which I think is going to happen. Everyone's going to be waiting for him to let Orton out. I think Rollins retains. I think Kane does what's best for business this time. Maybe he'll go in and he'll just destroy J&J security, but then he'll, like, pull Seth Rollins out of the ring. And what I think is going to happen is Kane's going to come into the ring and just decimate everybody. J&J security will probably be in there. He'll take out Orton, then he'll take out J&J, then he'll take out Seth Rollins, and then he'll start to pull Randy Orton out of the ring, and then he'll stop and have a second thought, and then he'll come over and he'll grab Seth and he'll pull Seth out of the ring. And it'll be Shades of Money in the Bank, where he's pretty much the reason Seth has the opportunity and has the title that he has. And then that's just going to be more fuel for the fire. Ah, Kane.
appropriate. Oh, sorry. No.
YBG.
yeah, your buddy Glenn. Or my buddy Glenn. Everybody's buddy Glenn.
Yeah. YBG and to you, MBG.
MBG. No, I really like that thought process. I mean, I also think Seth Rollins retains this Sunday. I haven't got in depth as to how I think he's going to retain it like you have. But the scenario you laid out, I could very easily see that happening. And if that does happen, that builds the easy match to next month's pay-per-view, whatever it is. So there you have it. It is a near-fall breakdown of this Sunday's Extreme Rules pay-per-view. Should be a fun card. I'm looking forward to it. Joe?
Yeah. I'll be at work, but the beautiful thing is that at work I always just like prop my phone up in the corner with the app and I just kind of watch it as I do my business. So
Wait. So through the WWE Network app, you're able to watch pay-per-views on the job?
I am paid to watch WWE.
Oh, that's fantastic.
You know, hey, that's a good way to think about it. Yeah, that's a good way to think about the... I'm paid to watch wrestling.
Man. Nice work if you can get it, right?
Right. I was actually... I had some people not too long ago. One of them was watching... I had the pay-per-view up in the corner, and someone was watching it as well. One of the customers was watching. Yeah, they were watching it too.
Just on your little small phone.
No, they had their own phone, and I was like, because I heard, like, I had just listened to what was going on, and then I was walking through, and it wasn't even my customer. And then I was just like, "Wait, sir, are you watching wrestling?" And they were like, "Yeah."
So
we ended up having a good conversation. Yeah,
streaming the WWE.
Yeah, I was like,
Network app.
I said, "Look up there, I'm doing the same thing," and they were just. We had a great conversation.
Oh,
yeah,
that's cool. See, isn't that a great feeling when you run into another wrestling fan in real life? It's like you meet a long-lost brother.
Yeah, you meet so many closet wrestling fans, too. Like, I've had it up at work, and I've caught people watching it, and then they start talking about it and stuff that they remember. And they're like, oh, yeah, I used to watch it all the time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, like, it comes out of them, and then it's just like, it's okay. We can talk about it. You're in good company.
You're among friends. It's okay. This is a comfortable environment.
I don't live in someone's basement. I'm an attractive adult. You can talk to me about wrestling. It's okay now. We won.
We did it. The nerds won, guys. Well, that feels like a good enough point to wrap up this podcast. The very first on the comeback tour, even though we're not calling it a comeback tour, of Near Fall Radio. Jomo, tell these lovely people how they can get in touch with you when you're not broadcasting with me.
You can find me on Twitter at PouchCat, P-O-U-C-H-C-A-T.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter, Landoz, that's at L-A-N-G-O-Z-I.